From NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. A video purporting to show the beheading of a British aid worker by so-called Islamic State militants has been released online. NPR's Alice Fordham reports that if confirmed, this would be the third such killing of a Western hostage in a month, following the beheadings of American journalists James Foley and Stephen Sotloff.
Two previous gruesome videos showed footage of President Obama before the murder of two American citizens. This time, video of British Prime Minister David Cameron begins the video before the scene cuts to a man identified as British aid worker David Haynes, kneeling in a featureless desert in an orange robe. A masked man in black stands with a knife in his left hand, as in previous videos. This one appears recent, as the assailant refers to the bombing of Iraq's Haditha Dam a week ago. Another man, identified as a British hostage, appears at the end as the masked man exhorts Prime Minister Cameron to stop fighting the Islamic State. Alice Fordham, NPR News, Baghdad.
Raging floods have killed hundreds of people in Kashmir, and officials say that number is expected to grow. Today, military specialists blew up dikes in central Pakistan to divert the swollen rivers and try to save cities. The waters are starting to recede, and officials are now stepping up efforts to prevent the spread of waterborne diseases. The United Nations is warning it might cut aid to Afghanistan if its staffers are harassed or threatened. NPR's Sean Carberry reports the warning comes as protesters demonstrate outside the UN headquarters in Kabul.
Demonstrators accused the UN of taking sides in Afghanistan's disputed presidential election. They chanted slogans including death to the UN. The United Nations has been overseeing the audit of all ballots cast in the June 14th election. UN workers have been accused of bias by supporters of both candidates, though backers of candidate Abdullah Abdullah have been particularly critical. They say the UN has ignored blatant fraud that tipped the election in favor of opponent Ashraf Ghani. Final results are expected next week. Some Abdullah supporters are threatening to announce their own government if Ghani is declared the winner. Sean Carberry, NPR News, Kabul.
A mandatory evacuation order is in place for parts of Silverado Canyon in Orange County, California. Officials say a wildfire roaring through Southern California's Cleveland National Forest is 10% contained, and it's burned through at least 1,600 acres. About 30 homes at the bottom of the canyon have been evacuated so far. It's being fueled by tinder dry vegetation, and the wildfire is in steep, hard-to-reach terrain. More than 700 firefighters are working on that blaze. The World Health Organization is saying no to a request from Sierra Leone to pay for a doctor with Ebola to be evacuated. The UN agency says it will instead work to give the doctor the best care inside that country, including access to experimental drugs if available. This is NPR. A search for a missing Navy fighter pilot whose jet was one of two that crashed west of Wake Island in California yesterday has been called off. The Navy said today the pilot is presumed dead, that after failing to find him after a 36-hour search. The Navy hasn't released the pilot's name. The pilot of the other jet ejected safely. Iconic jazz musician Joe Sample has died. The 75-year-old pianist and composer was best known for his band, the Crusaders. And as NPR's Nathan Rott reports, he'll be remembered as an innovator.
Joe Sample was first introduced to the piano at the age of five. It was love at first sight. The Houston native went on to study music performance at Texas Southern University, but he never finished his degree because by that time, a teenage Sample and his friends were already too busy playing gigs. They formed the Jazz Crusaders, later just the Crusaders, playing a form of jazz that was infused with elements of soul and funk. Sample would go on to play with a number of other musicians like Marvin Gaye and Joni Mitchell, but he once told the Houston Chronicle that there were things he just couldn't play with musicians that weren't from his native Houston. Other musicians, he said, simply do not feel it. Nathan Rott, NPR News.
The owner of the Washington NFL franchise says he stands behind NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. Dan Snyder says Goodell has always had the best interest of football at heart. Goodell is facing pressure over his handling of the Ray Rice domestic violence case. Snyder is facing his own criticism over his team's nickname, considered an offensive slur.